Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie.
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay. Tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, here on you on a Wednesday afternoon. It's hump day, everybody. We're almost there. Getting closer day by day. Another beautiful afternoon here on the campus of Dominican University and here at Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Full show to get to here this afternoon. A lot of topics ranging, you know, from a lot of different things, a lot of different sports. We're going to start with March Madness. Last weekend, we saw the first weekend of March Madness. Always a crazy weekend of sports. 64 teams that started on Thursday. We saw a couple upsets. But now we are down to the Sweet 16, the true contender, so to say. So we'll go over those matchups and who we think will be moving on to the Final Four at the end of the weekend. Then our second segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL, the NFL owners' meetings going on down in Arizona this weekend. Multiple media outlets are out there covering that event. Actually broadcasting from that event, like news talk programs. I know Sirius NFL Radio is out there this weekend. Some news, some rules changes, I should say, that we are going to talk about. And also a possible rule change that may be on the horizon as well. So stay tuned for that. And then we're going to talk a little bit of professional basketball. Here we're going to talk about the Warriors a little bit and their big win and what it means for them from last night. Talk about Kevin Love and LeBron James, D. Rose, Dwight Howard, and maybe we'll sneak in a couple other headlines. And then in our last segment, what I like to do a little bit more of a, I guess you could call it outside the lines type of a segment I usually like to do for the last thing. We're going to talk about a little bit about domestic violence and off-the-field issues in sports. Obviously, Greg Hardy, you know, signing with Dallas last week, and the NFL about to come down with a punishment for him. We're going to talk about how maybe his standing in society maybe will get him to get looked at differently, you know, how he's in the limelight, how he might get looked at differently with the stuff he's gone through. And also, you know, we'll talk about, you know, women's rights issues that goes along with that, and also how maybe strong women in sports have affected women's standing in society as well. So that's going to be our show for this afternoon, and we're going to go back up to the top, rewind, and talk about the first thing that I mentioned. We're going to talk about the Sweet 16. The NCAA basketball tournament is in, you know, getting down to the fun part. A lot of times the Sweet 16 can be the most fun games to watch and can be the most competitive, even though it's going to be tough to beat some of those round of 64 and 32 games. That first weekend's always fun. You know, you see those couple upsets. We saw Georgia State, you know, beat Baylor on that crazy three-point shot. We saw a couple other big upsets. You saw UCLA win on a kind of a fluke play to against SMU. But, you know, after all the dust has settled, we see now the true contenders in the NCAA tournament. Georgia State had their fun, and, you know, UAB, another 14 seed, had their fun. Now they're just forgotten about memories in this tournament, and we're moving on to the big boys, so to speak. Tomorrow night we'll have four games, so we'll go down through them in chronological order. Two places will be hosting those games: Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio, and Staples Center, of course, in Los Angeles. The two games at Quicken Loans will be the Wichita State Shockers going up against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. That game starting at 4:15. And then the other game, kind of the main event for the evening. I don't know if you could say that, though. They're both really great matchups from Quicken Loans. Is West Virginia going against undefeated 36-0 Kentucky. Should be a fun game. And then the games on Friday night, coming from NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas, and the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, New York, we'll start with NRG Stadium Forest at 4:15. It'll be the UCLA Bruins going up against Gonzaga Bulldogs, the Zags. And then the other game is the Utah Running Utes going on against the Duke Blue Devils. And then from the Carrier Dome at 4:37 will be the NC State Wolfpack going up against the Louisville Cardinal. And then in the later nightcap, it'll be the Michigan State Spartans going up against the Oklahoma Sooners. So those are going to be your four suites, I should say eight in total, Sweet 16 matchups. So should, you know, a lot of interesting matchups in there. You know, a couple of teams that, you know, you got a lot of power teams in there. You got a lot of interesting games to look at. And to clarify, the other three games on Thursday, North Carolina, Wisconsin, or I should say the other two games, I forgot to mention the games from Staples Center. It's North Carolina, Wisconsin at 4:47, and Xavier versus the University of Arizona at 7:17. So those are the eight matchups that we'll be seeing this weekend. And, you know, a lot of interesting matchups, and I think for the most part, the NCAA committee did a good job of making sure that these power teams didn't end up somewhere where it'd be easier for them to play. I mean, you look at Wichita, Notre Dame, pretty neutral. North Carolina, Wisconsin at Staples Center, pretty neutral. You just kind of go down the list. The only game I really see is kind of a non-neutral game is Xavier and Arizona at Staples. I mean, that's going to be a very pro U of A crowd, with Tucson not too far away, really. And, you know, and Arizona fans are used to traveling up to Los Angeles anyway from the olden days of the Pac-12 tournament that used to take place in LA. You know, of course, they moved it to Las Vegas, but, you know, the U of A fans still traveled to Vegas very well. So, and thinking of that, I think that's the biggest mismatch of any of the games on the slate, Xavier and Arizona. I think Arizona is a team that some people have kind of overlooked for whatever reason, but they're very, very good and very talented. I mean, they have the McDonald's All-American talent, you know, with Stanley Johnson, and, you know, they have the big man and Steven Tarczewski, the big seven-footer. But I think the really important aspect of this team that they have is the point guard and Stephen McConnell. McConnell is not a guy that's going to, you know, blow you away with athletic ability or, you know, be able to dunk from the free throw line. But what he can do is he can facilitate. You know, he's a great defender. He's a pretty good shooter, and you can really count on him to lead the team. He reminds me a lot of Aaron Kraft. You may remember of him from Ohio State. He seemed like he was there for 8 years. He's that type of a player. He's a glue player, and every college team needs a player like that, in my opinion. You know, and, you know, who knows if he'll be able to do anything in the NBA, but he's the perfect cog to this offense, and you know, maybe a professional he might be able to look at him and compare him to is maybe a guy like Luke Ridnour, you know, came from the University of Oregon. You know, he's a guy that's never crazy athletic, not very big, but had a very solid NBA career. So who knows? Maybe McConnell will end up being like that. And the game I'm really looking forward to, man, I mean, there's so many games that I think will be really interesting, but I really think Wichita State versus Notre Dame will be a really fun game. I think these are two teams that really like to shoot from the outside and hit three-pointers. Notre Dame in particular, you know, just up, you know, they got Grant, you know, the All-American, and, you know, they like to get out and run. You saw that in the ACC title game where they would just get in transition and just were hitting threes left and right, and, you know, just the ball movement for them offensively was phenomenal, and, you know, and it looked at times that UNC would be able to take that game over physically, you know, in the paint, but Notre Dame just kept banging away with those three-pointers, and, you know, eventually you're just not going to be able to hold up, and that's what happened in that ACC title game. And but I really think the key to this game will be with Wichita is Wichita likes to play a little bit more of a deliberate pace offensively under Greg Marshall. They like to, they're more of a team that likes to play half court. You know, they can get out and run, and they are athletic, but they don't have as many star players. I mean, Clay Anthony Early isn't there anymore, but they're more of a team that will just kind of, they want to play that half-court game, and if they want to beat Notre Dame, then they're going to have to play that half-court game and force Notre Dame into a situation where they're going to be playing half-court and not being able to get all those transition three-pointers. And, you know, also I think Wichita State's got to dominate inside, get a lot of points in the paint, you know, and, you know, maybe force, you know, Notre Dame's big men to get in foul trouble. They really don't have much in terms of big men. They have one big man, but not really. You know, he's been a little bit off and on, a little, you know, so that might be a weakness for the Irish. And then looking at Kentucky against West Virginia, this is kind of an interesting matchup. You may remember in 2010 when Calipari and Kentucky lost to Bob Huggins in West Virginia. Everybody's kind of paying attention to that. We saw a West Virginia guard say, oh, it's Kentucky's going to go 36-1, so you're seeing a little bit of that off-the-court stuff going on with it. And I really think that for whatever reason, Bob Huggins knows how to beat Kentucky coach teams, and the statistics don't lie. Bob Huggins, 8-2 against Kentucky, but this is a different Kentucky team. I mean, this is just a monster of a team, and even heard Larry Brown say that this team could make it into the NBA playoffs, just this team. That's a pretty bold statement. And I mean, it'll be interesting to see how many of these players end up being lottery picks and in next year's NBA draft. But, you know, it's not all about the talent. And West Virginia, you know, they got some pretty good players and have been a ranked team all season long. So they come out and play their best, you know, you never know what could happen. Then looking at some of the Friday games, UCLA, Gonzaga, that's kind of an interesting matchup, a rematch of 2006. You remember Adam Morrison and Gonzaga losing to UCLA. I think the Zags are playing some of their best basketball at the right time and expect them to win fairly easily. NC State and Louisville. Louisville just kind of keeps trucking along. I don't know how they're in this point. I mean, their point guard was dismissed from the team for violating team rules. It was some type of off-the-court issue. And just not good situation. Everybody kind of counted them out, but here they are. But I think NC State has a great chance. You know, they have their bigs played great against the number one seed, Villanova, and I expect more of the same. And then another team that just kind of keeps trucking, Tom Izzo and Michigan State. I mean, they were kind of mediocre for a lot of this season, and all of a sudden, kind of started in the Big Ten tournament. The team just kind of turned a switch, and now they're fighting to make it to another Final Four. Who would have thought they were even considered a bubble team for a little while? Yes, but after this weekend, we will have a Final Four. Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe this tournament just kind of whizzes by. It seems like the three quickest weeks in sports, from Selection Sunday to the Final Four. Sure, definitely will be interesting to see what teams can complete the journey and make it all the way to the big dance. You know, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, a lot more next week. We'll preview the Final Four. You know, talk about who we think is going to be the champion of college basketball. Okay, well, we're just going to have to find out tomorrow. First game starts at 4:15, Wichita State, Notre Dame. If you want to tune into that, it'll be, I believe, on CBS. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into some NFL news from the owners' meetings, and we'll check back with you in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show, Sports Talk in the Icebox, here from Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm Jeff Safford, I'm your host for this afternoon. We just got done talking about NCAA basketball, the NCAA basketball tournament. Again, make sure you tune in for all that fun stuff on TV and the radio. We'll be at the weekend's end, we'll be headed to the Final Four, kind of. Hard to believe that it's already coming down to the end of March. And for all the basketball fans out there, have no fear. The NBA playoffs are just around the corner, starting on April 18th. All right. And now for our next segment, we're going to get into some NFL talk. The NFL owners meetings are going on right now down in Arizona. This is the time of year, you know, we're in the off season for the NFL, and they do this once a year for in the league. They meet at this time of the year and around March just to talk about some rule changes and other issues going on in the National Football League. And there have been a list of rules that have been changed thus far this week. There are still meetings going on throughout the week. I'll go ahead and list off the rules that were changed. There will be an ad review of game clocks at the on the final play of half or overtime. So that means it'll almost be like a automatic review, meaning it'll be like touchdowns where the play automatically gets sent up to the booth to check. In this case, it'll be to check the clock. Another rule number 16, prohibit players for pushing rushing teammates with the other team in punting. In punting, expanding the current rule on field goals and extra points. So basically what that means is that you can't, if you're rushing a punt, you can't push, you know, your a player that's in front of you to try to give them a push to maybe try to block a punt. It's kind of similar to not being able to use your teammate in a field goal block where you can kind of use their back as kind of a trampoline, I guess you could say. And then they have extended the prohibition of the illegal peel back blocks to all offensive players. I think this was a move that really had to be made. There's, you know, it's kind of illegal at all other levels of football. Young players aren't really taught to block like that. And to clarify, a peel block is a block where you go down low. It's kind of similar to a chop block, but it's, you know, it's always been illegal for offensive linemen, but now all other offensive players it'll be legal for as well. Another rule, give an intended defenseless receiver protection in immediate action following an interception. So that will mean if, you know, think of it like a pass goes high and over the middle and a safety picks it off. If a cornerback comes in and lays the wood on the receiver after the interception, then there will be a penalty on the cornerback. But the big but with this rule is the interception will stand. They'll just move the ball back 15 yards on the return. So it will not overturn the interception, which I think is kind of a good rule in two aspects. You know, it makes sure that these players are safe. You know, it's a very violent game, as we know, and the NFL's made a lot of changes to the rules to try to help make the game safer. And I think this does that while also not penalizing the defense too much by taking a turnover away. Another rule, carryover and sportsmanlike conduct, taunting fouls at the end of the half, regulation to the ensuing kickoff. I think that's a safe rule, so you know, you can't just go talk crap in front of somebody's bench at the end of the half and get away with it scot-free. And then another rule, make it illegal for running backs to chop block a defenseless opponent outside of the tackle box. So I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And then there's a rule with permitting clubs to assign numbers to linebackers, basically expanding the amount of allotted numbers a linebacker could be given. And then the last rule, kind of the New England Patriots rule, I guess you could call it, make it illegal for an offensive player with an eligible receiver's numbers to report as ineligible and line up outside of the tackle box. You know, you may remember the Patriots did this in the divisional playoffs. Shane Breen, you know, reported as ineligible and lined up kind of outside looking like he was eligible and forced the players to, you know, take notice of him. He was basically a decoy. you know, he was worthless on the play. You know, he didn't have, he couldn't do anything. He was ineligible. And those are all the rules that have been changed as of right now. But the big kind of rule that a lot of people think that will get changed is, I kind of touched on it last week, was the extra point rule. You know, we saw that, my opinion, crazy idea to change the rule from the Indianapolis rule where you could get 9 points in one possession. And the NFL just seems to think that the extra point is just not a play that they want to see. It's not a play that, you know, it's kind, you know, and I can attest to that. You know, the extra point is a pretty non-action play most of the time. You know, it's pretty much a 99.9% success rate in the NFL. These kickers are so good. I can see why the NFL would maybe want to put a little bit more intrigue on the play. And, you know, if they're going to change it, which, you know, I guess it would be make the game more entertaining and put a lot more strategy into the game. But I think they're also going to have to change the two-point rule as well. We've seen teams like the Patriots suggest, let's move the two-point conversion back to the 15. I don't really agree with that approach. Why don't we move the two-point conversion up to the 1 yard line? That's what would be my idea. Make it a little bit easier for teams to get the 2 points, and then why don't you move back the extra point? Say to move it back to a spot where it's, you know, a kick that you should make, but it's not always made. So maybe like a kick that's made like 65-70% of the time, maybe like a 35-yard field goal or a 40-yard field goal. So it makes it tough for the coach to decide. You know, you get one play from the 1 yard line or a kick that you get 1 point for from like the 25, let's just say. I think that would put a lot more strategy into it and would make coaches think a lot more before they make one choice or the other, and it'll put more action into the play. And I think that's exactly what the NFL wants. It wants more action. You know, it wants people to stand up and, you know, get excited for the point after try instead of getting up off the couch and grabbing another Coors Light while the play's going on. You know, they want fans to be on the edge of their seat for the entire game, you know, and they don't want to lose, you know, viewership. Because think about it, if you're an average fan watching football, you know, if you got NFL Sunday ticket, right, and you're sitting down, you got your chips and guac, you got your ribs, or, you know, you got a cooler full of beers or mixed drinks or whatever you're doing, and a team scores a touchdown, then you automatically, if you're watching, a casual fan, you're not totally invested in that one game, you're going to flip the channel. Or if it's the red zone, or if you're watching the red zone channel, where it flips from game to game to game, after they score a touchdown, they're going to go away from that game and flip to, you know, let's go to Dallas, you know, where the Cowboys are in the red zone. You know, this will put more emphasis on those plays and will probably improve viewership for those plays. People won't just tune out of that game or, you know, switch, you know, back to something else. They'll watch that. They'll stay engaged in the game, and I think that's what the end goal is for the NFL, and I'm all for that. I think they have to find a balance of, you know, making the play more exciting, but not making it crazy, like with adding a 9-point play. That's just, I think, a little bit too out there for me. And other kind of off-the-field news, the Adrian Peterson saga, I guess you could say, continues on, it rolls on. You know, it's kind of almost at this point, seems like kind of a he said, she said type of deal, even though there's not many she's involved in this situation. We got folks from the Vikings saying that they don't want to trade Peterson, you know, they'd want him to line up in 2015 for the Vikings. And then you got, you know, spokesman for Peterson saying that it would be in his best interest to leave, that he maybe wants a trade. But notice we haven't heard anything from Peterson himself. That's, to me, a little bit interesting. If you have a problem with the organization, just come out and say it. You know, you're not like a little kid. This isn't like something that you can, you know, sweep under the rug. You know, you are a grown man. This is not college anymore. And, you know, you can't expect, you know, people to do this things for you. And I really think that if Adrian Peterson doesn't want to play for Minnesota, he should come out himself, not his agent, not, you know, not a spokesman, him come out on television, you know, anything short of doing the decision, like, style, and just say, hey, I don't want to play here anymore. If you guys can find a way to move me, then do it. And, but even then, I don't see how much good it would do, because the Vikings pretty much have Peterson locked up, and what's he going to do? Sit on the bench, you know, and lose $15+ million in salary? I don't think so. So the whole thing seems like kind of a snafu, if you ask me. Kind of a, just a weird story. It'll be just a thing to follow. You know, you'll see the headlines for it, the latest stuff popping up on it every day. So while the hot headlines keep coming, we'll keep talking about it. And then other off-the-field news, a decision is reportedly coming soon on newly signed defensive end from the Cowboys, Greg Hardy. He was involved in that domestic violence case last season, was suspended for the entire season, and now Roger Goodell will decide how many games he will be missing in 2015. I don't think there's a chance in heck that he won't be missing sometime in 2015. Just imagine the heat he would get, Roger Goodell would get, if he didn't suspend him for anything. Oh, I can just hear the feminists out in all the liberal arts schools yakking already. Oh, boy. You know, it would just be just not good for the NFL and its public image at all. And, you know, and the NFL shouldn't condone domestic violence, and it shouldn't be something that the NFL should sweep under the rug. So it'll be interesting to see how hard Roger Goodell is on Greg Hardy, because it's kind of tough, because he wasn't convicted, or he was in a sense convicted, and he appealed the case, and the person that was assaulted by Greg Hardy didn't show up, so Hardy was acquitted. So technically there's nothing on his record that says that he is, you know, a convicted man of domestic violence. So it'll be interesting to see what Roger Goodell decides to do. All right, you know, that's going to wrap up our NFL segment for this afternoon. I'm sure we'll get into some more NFL news next week as the off season kind of keeps trucking along. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. You know, so we'll maybe get in some draft talk next week, and I'm sure there will be more off-the-field drama in the NFL with the way things have been going these days. We're up against it here on Penguin Radio. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Make sure you stick around for our next segment. We're going to be getting in some NBA talk. We're going to be talking Dubs, talking, you know, Dwight Howard, and some other things around the NBA. Stay tuned.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what Living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Josh Groban. My favorite thing about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and helps get it to kids in need, but they can't do it alone. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. This is Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. You're listening to us live on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Make sure you tune into the show after me, Ball is Life, with DJ Roughhouse and DJ Smooth, coming up from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. They'll be getting in some, I'm sure, some great basketball talk. They really put a lot of effort into their show. So it'll be a good listen if you're looking for some good basketball talk. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And speaking of basketball talk, we're going to be getting into some NBA talk right now. How about that? All right, well, last night, the Golden State Warriors clinched the Pacific Division, the first time they have won their division since 1976. Wow. Sure, a lot of the maybe parents or alumni listening to this show are thinking, wow, I was really young back then, or wow, those were some good times back in the 70s. Groovy, man. But the Warriors have finally been off the shine. This has been a franchise that I remember growing up was, you know, kind of a joke. You know, the biggest highlight of the year was Jason Richardson winning in the dunk contest. You know, it was not a team that was usually relevant, but always was a team that was pretty well supported. You know, the fans would come out in Oracle, and when they did do well, like in that special season with Baron Davis and those We Believe Warriors beat the Mavericks, that 8-1 upset. It was kind of a crazy year, and you know, and it seems like ever since then that there's just been more of a buzz over the Warriors, and the last couple of years they've been a very easy team to watch, and this year they have just turned into a complete contender, and kind of franchise has kind of completely come full circle, where they've been trying to build a winner for so many years, and now they have finally done it. They've got, you know, the best backcourt, in my opinion, in the NBA with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and you know, you got Steph Curry as the MVP candidate, and Klay Thompson as another all-star back there, and you know, you have the extremely deep bench with Mo Spaeths and Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala and David Lee and all these great players, and you know, and they've been cruising at the number one seed seemingly all season long, and doesn't look like anybody is going to be catching them anytime soon. You know, it's a great accomplishment for the Warriors to win the Pacific, but when you listen to guys talking like Steve Kerr and a lot of the other Warriors, it's very clear that this team is not done yet. You know, they have a goal set higher than just making the playoffs and maybe winning a series or two. They want to go all the way. They want to make it all the way to the finals, and I think that they have a really great chance of doing that. You know, if they got that number one seed, and there's no doubt in my mind that the Warriors have the best home court advantage of any team in the NBA right now. The Thunder is another great home court advantage, but in Oklahoma City. But Oakland, you know, home cooking. The Warriors have only lost two games there all season long. I mean, it's just been, when they're playing at home, it's just been like a, it's been unbelievable to watch. And, you know, I myself will get to go watch the Warriors play live in a few weeks at home. I'm at Oracle in a couple weeks. I'm excited. I want to see what all the hype is about firsthand. You know, this is a team that really is exciting. They play a good brand of basketball, and I think it's good for the NBA. You know, it's kind of, I see them could possibly being the NBA's new kind of power team. You know, you see these teams like the Spurs, you know, they're getting older, and, you know, there was the Heat that got broken up. I think the Warriors are going to become the new kind of team to beat in the NBA. You know, now segueing into another power team out east, the Cleveland Cavaliers, big surprise, they're in the news again. Kevin Love yesterday made comments, was asked about who he thinks should be the MVP in his mind, and his answer was they asked him about Russell Westbrook and LeBron James, LeBron obviously being his teammate, and he said Westbrook. And now everybody's kind of jumping on Kevin Love saying, oh, he shouldn't say that, you know, because LeBron's his teammate, blah, 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 blah. To me, this is such a typical LeBron James ESPN story, I guess you could say, because the ESPN, you know, I love ESPN, love watching SportsCenter, but they really love to talk about LeBron James, and I think they talk about him a little bit too much. I'm sure if you were to ask them about ratings, they would say something different. But this, to me, is not a big story, and, you know, I think Kevin Love is honestly just being honest, for lack of a better word here. He's saying what's on his mind, you know, and you can't argue that Westbrook is a true contender for the MVP. He has, this year he has 15 games of at least 25 points and 10 assists. Steph Curry is the closest in that category with 9. So Russell Westbrook has a lot more games like that than any other player in the NBA, and he's been huge this season for the Thunder. I mean, think about where the Thunder would be without great contributions from Westbrook. You have Kevin Durant, who at this point has to become a little bit of a question mark. You don't know where he's going to be physically in the playoffs. And, you know, Russell Westbrook has kind of become the go-to guy this season. Last year it was Durant, you know, with him winning the MVP. This year it's going to be Westbrook. You know, they might go 1-2, which would be very interesting. And, you know, so you look at it that way. You know, Kevin Love, he's being honest. I think Russell Westbrook should be a higher candidate for MVP than LeBron. LeBron's had a good season, but it hasn't been his best. And Westbrook's just been out of his mind. I don't even think he's in the top three picks for the MVP. My top three would be Westbrook, Steph Curry, and James Harden. James Harden's another player that had an unbelievable season. kind of powering the Houston Rockets. So we got a lot more time to think about the MVP race and who's going to win it. And speaking of the Rockets are getting back a big part of their team tonight. Dwight Howard, after 26 games, will be coming back and suiting up tonight for the Rockets against the Pelicans on the road in New Orleans. He's been out 26 games, and 16 of those 26 games, the Rockets have been out-rebounded. And, of course, the injury to Terrence Jones hasn't helped either, and Josh Smith has been playing with a little bit of a bum ankle, kind of just pushing through it. I think this will really help the Rockets. Dwight Howard, like him or not, for his antics off the court, he is a great center and definitely one of the best centers that the NBA has. You know, he's going to be a double-double machine. You know, he's going to be a force in the paint. And I think will be really huge for Houston coming down the pipe, coming towards the playoffs. And I think him coming back at this point, and also just to clarify, his injury was quote-unquote knee soreness. Not quite sure what that means, but anyway, I think this is a good time for Dwight Howard to come back because they still have a couple weeks left of the season, you know, to make that final push. So Dwight can be, you know, kind of get back in the swing of things before the playoffs start. You know, so he's not coming back in the playoffs, you know, having not played in 3 months or whatever, you know, that he's going to be fresh coming back for the Rockets and will hopefully be playing his best basketball at the end of the year for the Houston Rockets in the wild, wild west. That's going to be a crazy playoffs, and the Rockets are definitely going to need to be at full strength if they want to win the Western Conference Championship. And in other injury news, Derrick Rose is reportedly injury-free, or I should say pain-free was how he quoted it. And he is going to be reportedly ready to go for the postseason. Remember, a couple weeks back, he had more knee trouble, but it was a tear that was not season-ending, and it was an injury that he could bounce back from fairly quickly. And now Derrick Rose looks like will be coming back for the Bulls for the postseason. And you really got to hope for the Bulls that this is finally when Derrick Rose can stick in the lineup and be someone that's going to be a big impact for your team. You know, because nobody wants to see 2012 again, where Derrick Rose was out for a long time, came back in the playoffs, and the first game in the playoffs completely busts his knee again and was out for the entire 2013 season. You know, nobody wants to see that again, and you just hope that Derrick Rose, who's obviously one of the brightest talents in the NBA when healthy, that he can stay healthy and, you know, help the Bulls to, you know, a playoff run. You know, they have a good supporting cast around Derrick Rose, probably the best one he's had while he's been in Chicago. So if he's healthy and playing well, you know, don't count the Bulls out in the East. You know, it's going to be a more fun playoff race out there as well. The bottom three seeds are going to be pretty, you know, not as strong as the West, but the top half of the West East has definitely gotten stronger. You know, you got the Cavaliers, the Bulls, the Raptors. The Wizards were playing well, have been really struggling as of late. You know, it's just more teams are solid this year in the East than there was last year, where it was Miami and everybody else. Even though the Pacers finished in the first seed, they kind of limped into the playoffs and nobody thought they were the best team in the East, and it showed when the two teams played in the playoffs. Okay, we're going to finish up that segment, and we're going to take a quick our quick break, excuse me, and we're going to, when we come back for our last segment, unfortunately, we're going to talk about, like I mentioned early in the show, it's going to be kind of an outside the lines type of a segment. I like to do that for the last segment of the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about some domestic violence issues, you know, with Greg Hardy's stuff coming up, like I talked about earlier, and how guys like that that are involved with things of that nature are looked at or could be looked at differently in society than, say, an average Joe would be if he was involved in that type of a scandal. And also talk about, you know, how you can balance these things, you know, and these maybe guys giving second chance with women's rights issues, and, you know, looking at how maybe women, you know, strong women athletes have helped women in society as well. So should be kind of an interesting conversation. We're up against it here. We're going to be right back after a couple PSAs. Stay tuned to Sports Talk in the Icebox here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn today...
The only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov, a message from the Ad Council.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the show. Wrapping up another Wednesday afternoon show here on Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, back with you for one last segment. Make sure you tune in to the show after me, though. Ball is Life coming up in just a few minutes here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We have just a few minutes left in the program before we have to say goodbye and sign off, and just wanted to hit on a couple things that I thought were interesting. You know, obviously looking at Greg Hardy and, you know, and these domestic violence issues surrounding the NFL, these guys that are involved in things like this are always looked at in a very negative way when you look at in society, when you look at him. When Greg Hardy walks down the street, you know, he's going to get dirty looks. You know, feminists might come up and say something ruthless to him. You know, who knows what type of stuff is going to happen. And But yet, he's getting a second chance with Dallas Cowboys, and, you know, and people are making a big deal about that. And a lot of people think that he shouldn't get a second chance, that he should be kind of banned for life, so to speak, from the NFL. And, you know, and when you look at that, that's not really true for a lot of things in society. When guys make these mistakes, they do get a second chance. Even guys that go to jail, yeah, you know, the, if you're convicted of domestic violence or rape, you're going to have that kind of, that'll follow you for the rest of your life, but it's not like your life and career is over. You can still get a job and be a part of society. So why would a football player be any different? Yeah, he makes a lot of money. I understand where the argument comes in, but, you know, I think that, you know, we shouldn't treat him as an employee different than any other employee. And in Greg Hardy's case, he doesn't have any charges against him in court. You know, his charges were dropped. The case was dismissed. So it's shouldn't be that big of a problem, I do not believe. But I think we'd also need to kind of walk this line with women's rights also, you know, at the same time, because that's a very serious issue. It's obviously we have, you know, problems in our society when it comes to women, you know, with not them not getting fair pay and all these other issues, you know, or sexual identification or just not smart stuff, you know what I mean? We should be beyond that in society and in sports. I think that women's sports has come a long way. It's not something that's just a joke anymore. You see athletes in the women's side that are strong. You know, you see programs like UConn women, you know, getting national attention. And you see, you know, talk about Ronda Rousey, who's been in the news a lot lately for her dominance of the UFC, just won another title in the UFC in the women's division. And, you know, and she's another strong personality and just strong woman athlete. And I think she's doing a lot for women. And I think the biggest thing for women is just to have them feel that equal importance. And I think that that should be something that, you know, sports can help with. It certainly can. It kind of started in 99 with that in the World Cup, Women's World Cup. You may remember Brittany Chastain. She scored that winning goal and penalty kicks, and then she took off her shirt and kind of had that moment of jubilation. You know, and it kind of was a beginning for women's sports being taken seriously. Okay, we are out of time, unfortunately, or on Sports Talk in the Icebox. Make sure you tune into, or stay tuned to Ball is Life, coming on in just a few minutes here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Tune in next week. Until then, we'll see you later. I'm Jeff Safford. Have a good one, everybody.